in July of 2013 at Stone Mountain Park in Georgia. 17-year-old Jason Landris and 18-year-old Sean Garber were hiking in a fenced-off area known as the Lincoln Cut when the pair slipped and tumbled down a 400-foot cliff into a ravine. Both miraculously survived. But Landris suffered bruising of the brain, lungs, and a broken jaw, while Garber suffered a sprained ankle, chipped front teeth, and numerous cuts and bruises. You say, how did this happen? It was a restricted area. The teen said that there were no warning signs. The park would later go on to say that sometimes hikers will take the warning signs as a souvenir or memento. Was their supervision improper? Brother Lowell, I hate to say this, but they were with their pastor. What happened? I'll tell you exactly what happened. They got too close to the edge. The story that we reference today in the book of Judges, and the book of Judges is an extremely interesting book of the Bible. The central theme of Judges is failure through compromise. And listen, in our Christian life, we will fail if we compromise. We will fail over and over and over through compromise. The key verse in Judges is found actually twice. It's Judges 17:6 and also Judges 21:25. And it says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The pattern of Judges is seen six times. And you can read Judges chapter 3, 4, 6, 10, and 13. And this is the pattern. It's a wheel. We find it over and over in Judges. We find sin, suffering, supplication or prayer. They go to God when they sin and they suffer for their sins. And then salvation. And then we see sin, suffering, supplication, salvation. It just goes over and over. It's a wheel of defeat. By the way, your Christian life doesn't have to be that way. Doesn't have to be sin. And so it can be victorious. Amen. How God intended it. There are 14 judges named in the book of Judges. Probably we would classify the two most famous judges as Samson. We know Samson, amen. And also Gideon. His name in our story called Jerubbaal. Gideon judged Israel for 40 years and he was called into God's work. And you remember, it's such a unique calling. He's hiding behind the threshing floor because of the enemies of God. And God says to him, "Go, thou mighty man of valor." And he says, "Who? Me? Amen. I'm back here hiding, threshing the wheat." And he would judge Israel for 40 years. He destroyed Baal's altar. It's a spiritual revival broke out under Gideon, and it started right there with the end of idolatry, and therefore he got the name Jerubbaal. You remember the story, if you've been in Sunday school at all, of Gideon's army of 32,000 reduced down to 300. Why? So God could get the glory. Hey, by the way, I'm glad that not many mighty, not many noble are called. You know why? Because God gets the glory. You know, when a church like ours does something for God, you know who gets the glory? God does. Because we're just a bunch of sinners saved by grace. Amen. And so Gideon had his army reduced and he wrought a great victory over Midian. And the Bible says that he had 70 sons, and then he had a son named Abimelech through a concubine, and then he dies. And as so often happens when a great leader passes off the scene, the nation plunged into apostasy. Went right back to its old and wicked and idolatrous ways. And Abimelech works his way with the wicked men of Shechem, and they make him a king, and he hires wicked men to slay, and he slays all of his brothers except for Jotham, who gets away. And he becomes king. And then God tells us that there was a rift between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. If you look at Judges chapter 9, look at verse 23 and 24. By the way, other than salvation, there's an irrevocable principle of God in the Bible, and it's called sowing and reaping. You know why I said other than salvation? Because, Deke, the truth is we have sowed iniquity and we should reap hell, but Jesus reaped it for us. Amen? Here we have a situation where Abimelech has sown wickedness with the men of Shechem. And what happens? Verse 22 of Judges 9 says, when Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel, then God sent an evil spirit. See, God is in charge of the evil spirits still. They still have to report to Him. You say, did God create evil spirits? No, He did not. But He's still in charge of everything. They have to obey. It says, between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech, that the cruelty done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come, and their blood might be laid upon Abimelech, their brother, which slew them, and upon the men of Shechem, which aided in the killing of his brethren. So what happens is the men of Shechem seek to destroy Abimelech, and Abimelech outfoxes them, and the men of Shechem, they flee to their strong tower. Many times in Bible days, city would have a strong tower that they would flee to that was an impenetrable defense. There was not really much offense out of it, but it was an impenetrable defense, and people would get sick of throwing things up at the tower, and they would just leave. And so that's what the men of Shechem figured what would happen. But Abimelech, being the cunning, by the way, devious person that he was, went and he cuts down a tree. It says he cuts down a bow, and I don't know what the size of it was, but it had to be pretty impressive. He cuts it down and says to his men, do like me. And he brings that tree right to the tower. And all the men bring trees right to the tower, and they set the tower on fire, and all the men died. It says about 1,000 men died. Now, I don't think that the tower fell down. I think it was probably from smoke inhalation. But it says they all died. And so Abimelech, drunk with his victory there at Shechem, goes to Thebes, about 13 miles away, and says, you know what? I'm going to do the same thing I did to these people that I did to the Shechemites. And he does the same thing. But it says he got too close to the tower. And there was a woman who was at the top of the tower. And she had a piece of a millstone. And she saw Abimelech. And she saw the wickedness of his heart. And she took a piece of that millstone. And some people talk about millstones being about this wide, yay thick. Amen. And she took a piece of it. I don't know how big it was. Maybe a cinder block. And she threw it off the side. And Abimelech looked up. He was close to the tower. And boom! Hit him right in the head. And he stunned. And he said to his arm bearer, he said, run me through that it not be said that a woman killed me. You say, what happened to Abimelech? I'll tell you exactly what happened. He got too close. He got too close to the wall. Now, Abimelech is not a character you want to pattern your life after. This episode is recounted by King David when he orders the death of Uriah. And you remember, he gave Uriah his own death warrant, didn't he, Brother Eric? And he had him deliver it to Joab. And Joab read it, and I'm sure had disdain and disgust in there. And he wrote back after the deed was done. What he had told him was, you just put Uriah in the hottest part of the battle, and then you blow the trumpet, have the rest of the men retreat, and he'll die. And he says there, if you look at verses 14 through 21 of 2 Samuel, going back there, and then we'll come back to Judges here. But he says there in verse number 21, he's recounting the incident. He says, David's going to be upset with you about this. He says, no. You just tell him that who smote Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal? Did not a woman cast down the piece of a millstone from him, from the wall? He died in Thebes. Why went you nigh the wall? Then say, thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead. In essence, he was referencing this story. You just tell him he got a little too close to the edge, and then tell him Uriah is dead. He'll understand. He was covering up his complicity in David's wickedness, this conspiracy to murder Uriah. The title of my message is taken from verse 21 of 2 Samuel. Why went ye nigh the wall? Why went ye nigh the wall? Hey, why did those two young people fall down the cliff? They got too close to the edge. Why did Abimelech die at the hands of a woman by a millstone? He got too close. I want to take this verse and make an application for you and I. And I want to do it with Bible characters, and I've got 5 points and not too many sub-points. Brother Hendershot, amen. Why went you nigh the wall, Lot, and got hit with the millstone of wicked association? Why went you nigh the wall, Lot? You remember the story of Lot, Genesis chapter 19? Really, it starts out in Genesis chapter 11 and 12, Abraham's nephew, and Lot, you remember, he lifted up his eyes and saw the well-watered plains of Sodom. But he had gotten to the point where he had ruined his testimony by wicked association. Wicked association. So much so, in Genesis 19:1, Lot became what many would call the mayor of Sodom. He sat at the gate. He was in a place of authority. He met people as they would come into the city. He affiliated with the Sodomites. He called them brethren. He tried to appease the Sodomites when they wanted to do wicked sin on the angels. He said, I'll just give you my daughters, amen. And he angered the Sodomites when he said, no, don't do this, amen. And he lost so much. He lost his decency. He lost his ability to make a difference. He lost his discernment. He lost his dearest one who became a pillar of salt. And in the end of Genesis chapter 19, we find he lost his daughters. Why? Because he got too close to wicked association. He got too close. Listen to me. The Psalms, Psalm 1 still starts off with this. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Amen. Yes. Listen, be careful about who you associate with. I could go back to almost every bad decision in my life. It would be because of wicked association. Amen, church? Amen. The person who took that first drink, the person who used that first illegal drug, there was somebody right alongside. Wicked association. Why went you nigh the wall? Why did Lot? How did Lot, who was the nephew of Abraham, how did he lose everything? I'll tell you, he got too close to wicked association. Secondly, this morning, why went you nigh the wall, Lot, and got hit with the millstone of wicked association? Why went you nigh the wall, Samson, and got hit with the millstone of lustful flirtation? Hey, the Bible has a lot to say. Just read Proverbs. You want to do a word search in Proverbs? Do a little phrase search on the strange woman. And I'm not talking about a woman who looks weird. The strange woman is the harlot. That wicked and lustful woman. And if Delilah wasn't that, I don't know what she was. I'm sure she was beautiful, but this was Samson's downfall. You remember the story of Samson? Over and over and over, lustful flirtation in his... Hey, how did Samson fall? Lustful flirtation. Hey, listen to me, fellas. That woman at work is not your wife. Amen, Pastor. That's good preaching right there. That woman at work is not your wife. Amen. You say, oh, it's just a flirtation. Huh. You ought to read about Samson. Mama Howland, I think it just started off with a flirtation between him and Delilah, and he ends up blind, grinding at the millstone for the Philistines. Doc Malone used to preach an awesome message, sin binds, Samson was bound, sin blinds, and sin grinds. And that's all what happened to Samson. What happened to Samson? He ended up blind, grinding at the millstone. Why? Lustful flirtation. Can I say this, folks, again? I'm not trying to get in anybody's business, but men, could we be like Job, who made a covenant with his eyes? Why then should I look upon a maid? And can I say this, married couples, can we get back to Proverbs 5 and 1 Corinthians 7, and I'll just leave it there, and you can read on your own. Amen. Listen, lustful flirtation, that millstone will kill you. Amen. Don't get close to that. Hey, I've got a firm policy in my office. I never counsel a woman alone. Never. Why? Because I don't want to get nigh the wall and get killed by that millstone. Have my testimony wrecked and have little kids cry because I can't be their pastor anymore. Amen. You say, well, you're the pastor. You don't trust your flesh? Nope. Nope. I don't trust it further than I can throw it. And since I weigh 200 pounds, you can't throw it very far. Amen. And by the way, you ought not to trust yours either. Oh, I can handle it. I'm sure you can. Sure you can. Lustful flirtation. You know how many preachers have had to leave the ministry because of a lustful flirtation that they didn't deal with? And they got too close to the wall. Listen, there are preachers today in prison because of a lustful flirtation. I just say this, I don't want your preacher in prison. Amen. I could say that with all authority, amen. If I go in, it's because I'm ministering and I want them to be able to let me out, amen. Lustful flirtation. Why went you nigh the wall, Lot, of wicked association? Why went you nigh the wall, Samson, of lustful flirtation? 2 Samuel chapter 6, you want to go there, amen. Why went you nigh the wall, Uzzah, of simple insubordination? You say, who's Uzzah? I don't really recall reading much about Uzzah. Well, he's not on the scene for long. Remember what happens here. If you look at verse 3 of 2 Samuel 6, it says, and they set the ark of God upon a new cart. Uh-oh. Those of us that know our Bibles, uh-oh. God had given specific instructions how the ark was to be carried. It was to be carried by the Levites. It was to be carried on staves and walked. It wasn't to be put on any cart, be it new, old, or medium. So they put it on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Amminadab, which was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Amminadab, drave the new cart. They thought, Brother Wright, they were doing God a favor. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood and harps and psalteries and on timbrels. After all, Brother Leonard, they were getting the ark back. Represented the presence of God. When they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. Boy, I think this is probably why God didn't want it on a cart, Brother Hurst. Amen. Right. And there it is. And the very presence of God shook on that cart. And Uzzah, trying to help God out, put his hand up. Verse 7 says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. Why went you nigh the wall, Uzzah, and got hit by the millstone of simple insubordination? Now, thankfully, God does not always kill us for our insubordination. Otherwise, none of us would be here, and I certainly wouldn't be here either. But you know what insubordination really is? Especially toward God. Listen to me now, folks. Now listen, I'm a sinner just like you. I've never said this in my heart, but my actions have said it. I know better than God. Come on. When you deliberately disobey what God says, you are saying, I know better than God. And that's what Uzzah said. I'm going to do God a favor. And God's methods, those are old methods. And listen, we can get it there quicker and all that. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of churches and a lot of pastors that have bitten on this apple. You know what? Those old methods, give it another 15 years, they're going to be very sorry. They're going to be very sorry. Because if you sow to the wind, you reap the whirlwind. If you sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. I think about that especially in our worship. I know we got guests here today. We're an old-fashioned independent Baptist church on purpose. We don't want to be a new family. Listen, we like air conditioning. Amen. We like indoor plumbing. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now you said, Pastor, we like air conditioning. We're having service outside tonight. Mind your business. Amen. No, we like modern conveniences. I'm glad for cell phones and all those things. But when it comes to worship, we're going to have old-fashioned worship. We're going to have old-fashioned worship. Why? Because that's what God blesses. Why wouldn't you? Hey, Uzzah died on the spot. Why? Simple insubordination. As soon as they got that ark, he said, boys, get the staves. We'll carry it like God said we're supposed to. Why wouldn't you nigh the wall, Lot, of wicked association? Why went you nigh the wall, Samson, of lustful flirtation? Why went you nigh the wall, Uzzah, of simple insubordination? Why went you nigh the wall, David, of thoughtless indiscretion? I can tell you this, Brother Kelly, when David was up on the housetops, he'd never intended to commit adultery with Bathsheba. And he never intended to have her husband murdered. And he never intended for his son to wrest the kingdom from him. And he never intended for his other son to rape his stepdaughter. He never intended to lose a baby. He never intended any of that. But a thoughtless indiscretion started that snowball down the hill. And then it couldn't stop. Why went you nigh the wall? I'll tell you, there's something to be said in this passage for being where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. This was the day when kings went forth into battle, 2 Samuel 11 tells us. And David was on the housetop. He should have been out there with his men, Brother Horsch. He should have been out there with his men. And it's a passage of warning to you and I. Thoughtless indiscretion has consequences. Thank God for sin being under the blood. But there are some consequences that continue on, though the sin... And by the way, David's sin was under the blood. You read further in 2 Samuel 12. Nathan told him, thy sin is put away. But the sword shall never depart out of thy house. Thoughtless indiscretion. A thoughtless indiscretion. Think about it. The folly of indiscretion. He didn't mean to. How many times my boys have told me that? I didn't mean to, Daddy. And I will always tell them, I know you didn't mean to. As Eric said, I didn't mean to hit Luke, and Luke is standing there going, "Hoo!" He'll say, Daddy, I didn't mean it. Now, sometimes what he means is, I didn't mean it because I don't want to get, disciplined. When he really did mean it. But sometimes he really didn't mean it, Mrs. Lawley. But you know what I told him? I said, it doesn't make Lukey hurt any less that you didn't mean it. You say, oh, that's tough. Listen, I want to understand that there are consequences, even when we're not thinking, which is usually when the most consequences come, when we're not thinking. Why went you nigh the wall, David? Of thoughtless indiscretion. Why went you nigh the wall, Uzzah, of simple insubordination? Why went you nigh the wall, Samson, of lustful flirtation? Why went you nigh the wall, Lot, of wicked association? One more. Why went you nigh the wall, Demas, of worldly affection? You know, Demas was a helper of Paul. Today we would perhaps consider him somebody, Brother Eric, that would go on missions trips and help and be a blessing and financially support. And he loved Paul. Matter of fact, in Colossians 4:14, I read it before I went to bed last night, Paul said, "Hey, greet Demas for me." And then one book later, Paul says this, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Hey, Christian, don't be in love with this world. Don't be in love with this world's goods. Don't be in love with this world's fashions. Listen, the Bible says the fashion of this world passeth away. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Lay up treasures in heaven. I'm talking to a church that, by and large, does that. But maybe, young person, you've got one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Can I tell you, as somebody who came out of the world later in life, get both feet in the church as soon as possible. Amen. You'll never be sorry. Right. You'll never be sorry. But what happened to Demas? Miss Judy, he lost all his rewards. Can you imagine? And I'm going to talk tonight about not quitting, and I'm going to give you some scripture on that. But can you imagine if you today said, "You know what? I'm just done with church," and the rapture happened tomorrow? You'd probably say, "Hey, I was in. It counts. Amen." No, just imagine if you decided, you know what, you said, "I'm done with this. I'm just going to live my life any way I want." And Brother Jack, you've been serving the Lord 40 years, amen, and all that's gone. Lost it. Why? Worldly affection. So many people got so enamored with the world, and they're not doing what God wants to do. I've known people in the ministry that got so enamored with making money and Amway and all the other pyramids that they forgot that God called them into His vineyard. Listen, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and hallelujah, I hope we all feel this way, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. It's not home. It's not home. It's just the place we're traveling through. Go to Psalm 91 with me and we'll be finished this morning. Why went you nigh the wall, Lot, of wicked association? Why went you nigh the wall, Samson, of lustful flirtation? Why went you nigh the wall, Uzzah, of simple insubordination? Why went you nigh the wall, David, of thoughtless indiscretion? Why went you nigh the wall, Demas, of worldly affection? You know, the second that pastor and those young people and Stone Mountain Park saw a fence, Brother McKinley, that had been about the time they should have realized that there was a reason that the fence was there. I heard somebody give ministerial advice, great ministerial advice, talking about standards and different things. He said, "Never pull down a fence until you know why it was put up." And that's a great piece of advice. As soon as they saw that fence, they should have said, "Ho! Wow, look at that. Look at that ravine." We've said so many times about sin, it's better to have a fence at the top of the cliff than an ambulance at the bottom. Amen? They saw the fence, they either went around it or hopped over it, then they got too close to the edge and they fell down the ravine. What happened to all these characters? I'll tell you what, each one of them didn't intend to, but they got too close to sin and they suffered ruination for it. How can we avoid that? I'll tell you how. Psalm 91:1 tells us how. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say unto the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. Why went you nigh the wall? How do we stay away from the edge? I'll tell you how. Stay close to God. Amen. Stay close to God. This is one of those messages that it's so simple it almost slaps us. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Hey, maybe there's some of you that you're walking a little too close to the edge. And you haven't fallen down that ravine yet. Yet. But you will. Listen, get away from the edge. I'll tell you what, with my children, get away from the edge. Stay away from the edge. Listen, as a pastor, children grow up in your home and we have standards and we don't discuss that whether we're going to church or not. Just don't do it. Sorry, we don't have a family meeting. We already had one a long time ago. We decided to have a family. That was the meeting. Amen. And then we take them to church. But you that have grown your children know they come up and they ask questions. Why do we do this? Why don't we do this? You know what I want to teach them? The number one thing, Brother Apple, one of the number one reasons why we don't do this is because we want to stay away from the edge. You know the reason why we don't have drums on our platform or drums on our soundtracks for that matter is we don't want to get close to the edge. And I heard a man sing last week, and he did a fine job, and he had a drum track, and it wasn't too bad, but that was enough for me. I said, you know, I just want to stay away from the edge. Just want to stay from the edge. Stay. Why? Because I read about somebody who got too close to the edge. Uh-huh. And he got hit with a millstone. And I read about these characters that we talked about. They all got close to the edge. What did Lot lose? Everything. Lost everything. What did Samson lose? Everything. What did Uzzah lose? His life. What did David lose? So much. And most of all, a clean conscience. He said, my sin is ever before me. I know I had Uriah killed. I know I committed adultery with Bathsheba. And until God calls me home, I'll know that till the day I die. You say, what did Demas lose? He lost all his reward. The Bible talks about how be careful that you lose not your full reward. Listen, I don't want to be on the losing end of sin. Amen, church? I don't want to be on that losing end of sin. How can we prevent it? Stay close to God. Stay in His Word. Stay in prayer. Stay in the house of God. You get away. You stay away, you'll stray away. Cliche, I know. I say it so much. You stay away, you'll stray. Stay here. Stay here. Come on Wednesday nights. Come for Sunday school. Come on Sunday morning. Come on Sunday night. Even if the pastor says it's going to be hot under the tabernacle. Amen. Thank you for those two amens. And the rest of you are saying, curse no air conditioning. Amen. Hey, listen. Let's stay away from the wall. Let's stay away from the edge. I don't want to have on my tombstone, Brother Wiesner, Rich Savodsky, 1972 to 2000, whatever. Why went you nigh the wall? Why'd you wreck your life, Pastor? Got too close to sin. And so does everybody else that gets too close to sin. Let's keep away from it. Father,